From ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, Leon Compton.
Three of our four next guests arrived by bicycle this morning to have a chat about a recent cycling holiday. How does this sound like as an adventure for you and the family? Stuart and Rosie have four children, aged 14, 13, 12 and 10, and they thought, let's go on a cycling holiday through South Korea. I wonder how that played out. Sounds like quite the adventure. Stuart Barry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Leon.
Lovely to see you in here this morning. Christian, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in this morning. And I believe you also pedalled in this morning, Jeff. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Excellent work. And Rosie Barry was off and busy doing other family duties this morning and is taking the car. Rosie, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us, Leon.
So tell me about where the decision or where the idea came from. Let's cycle as a family with our four kids around South Korea. Where did the idea come from, Rosie?
Well, there are two parts to that. Stuart and I used to live in South Korea, so we wanted to go back. We hadn't taken the children there yet. And also we love cycling. And when we lived in Korea, we left to go cycling for a year around Europe. So we kind of thought it's right to go back there. But now that we've got children, we need to be somewhere that's cycle friendly for children off-road, and Korea is the perfect place for that.
Is it really? Why is it the perfect place?
They've put a lot of money into their cycle infrastructure there, and they have a lot of tracks that are, or trails that are fully asphalted or whatever you call that, you know, proper roads that are just for bikes, and they're two lane, one direction each side. And when they're not on bike track, the roads are very clearly marked. They have a big margin for bikes and people are used to it, bikes. So it's terribly safe, or wonderfully safe.
Well, that is good to hear. Jeff, tell me what a typical day was like on your family cycling holiday.
We get up at about 8, leave at about 9, eat at a shop along the way or a little restaurant, and ride until we got hungry.
Right. How far would you ride in the average day?
70 kilometres.
70 kilometres a day with the four of you. Now, where do you sit in the sort of family? So you've got brothers and sisters, 10, 14, 13, 12 and 10. How old are you, Jeff?
I'm 12.
And how old are you, Christian?
I'm 10.
What was the highlight? What was the best thing about each and every day? What was the thing you were looking forward to, Christian?
Well, I really enjoyed riding and meeting all the different people along the way. And it's some days, like, I'm not sure, you're really tired and so you just have to push through. And then the next day you might be really, really, like, you want to go really far. So it was so much fun like that. And so, like, you'd look forward to arriving some days, and some days you just want to keep on riding.
Well, that's great. And were you camping each night, or were you staying in, like, hotel accommodation?
Well, at the start, we were staying in motels quite a bit. But then as we settled in, we started to camp on little huts in the side of the path, just in our tents.
Did you take your bikes over with you, or did you have to buy them when you got there, Jeff?
We took them over with us in boxes.
Right, so you knew what bike you were riding. It wasn't about trying to find a bike at a second-hand store on the way when you were over there.
We bought our own ones.
Right. How much racing was going on amongst the family members? Quite a bit.
I would race my brother up the hills and usually get there first.
Right. I can imagine that was quite competitive. Stuart, tell me about the challenges that go into organising a family cycling holiday through South Korea.
Well, the logistics of moving bikes in boxes to and from airports is a bit of a nightmare, actually. That's the worst thing about cycle trips, is carting the gear before you're on the bike.
Mm.
Once you're on the bike, it's fairly straightforward. And one of the great things about Korea is that there's accommodation everywhere. There's free camping everywhere if you've got your tents. So if you bring your tents, and you can mix it up between a tent and hotels and just take each day as it comes. We didn't prearrange anything.
I was going to ask you about how much planning actually went into, you know, did you have your stop points marked out every single night, and did you know where you were going to start?
No, we didn't. And particularly with kids, it's important just to be able to take each day as it comes and see where the energy levels are. So we always bring our own gear so that we can choose to stop whenever it's the weather, you know, someone's tired or the weather turns bad. So really great to be flexible like
that. And of course, so that means you had all your panniers on your bikes with you and were carrying a fairly large load. How much weight were you carrying on your
Everyone
bike?
Carried their own gear. It was around about 20 kilo on the adults' bikes and about 10 on the children's bikes. So it's pretty substantial.
Mm. Yeah. And so it only took you an hour to pack up each and every morning, Christian, to get up. What were your jobs each morning?
Well, everyone just kind of packed up all their sleeping gear and put it in their panniers and just rolled them up and everything. And then often we hung around a bit just because, like, there's no need to rush. And so we all just did our own stuff, and then Mum did a bit of the extra stuff, so did Dad.
Yeah, a bit of the extra stuff, and off you went. Were you mostly riding Rosie through sort of urbanised environments, or was it through the South Korean countryside?
We did three different trails. The first trail went from the airport in Seoul down to Busan in the south, which is the second largest city. And along that trail, you pass through quite a few towns, but we were on a river or on several rivers the whole way. So you got a good mix. We always had to go into towns for lunch or breakfast or dinner. So we were always able to find towns when we needed them, but we were also through the countryside. It was beautiful. We had a lot of scenic areas to ride through. The second trail was much shorter and it was very, very scenic. And that was purely along rivers and in terrain that was quite unpopulated. And then the third trail was along the coast. We went back up the east coast, back up to the border, and to North Korea. And that was mostly sea fishing towns. So they weren't really sophisticated towns in city type of thinking, but they were, you could always find seafood restaurants.
Oh, I can imagine you could, and that food would have been fantastic. Jeff, what was your favourite kind of South Korean food to eat?
I didn't really like the kimchi, which is not very nice, cabbage. So
they're mad for that too. That goes in everything, doesn't it? Breakfast, lunch and tea.
I ate a lot of rice and sometimes some plain stuff.
Yeah. I love it. Were there a lot of other families doing a similar sort of thing? Like how isolating was it? Or was there thousands of families from all around the world riding South Korea at the same time?
No, there was no families. And actually one of the funny things with the trip was the South Koreans were so amazed that there was a family with four children. That's very unusual. They actually at the moment only have 0.8 of a child per couple. So less than one child per couple. Mm. So we were asked by one person whether we were a school group.
Mm.
Yeah.
And a very common question was, are you a family? And you'd say yes, and they'd like, oh, family of six people. So it was really surprising, and we were very much on our own in that respect. Yeah.
Wow. Well, there you go. Tell me, Christian, what was the provision like? What are the rules if somebody gets lost?
Well, we all had a little bit of cardboard, like a piece of cardboard in our, like our panniers, and that had written on it in pen, Mum and Dad's phone number. And so once I got lost, all of us except for Lynn, I think, got lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just behind everybody just a little bit because I'd stopped to, like, do up my pannier again or something, I think. And then I was riding and I could see them just around the corner, so I went really fast to try and catch up. And then I kept on going faster and faster and I just couldn't see them, so I thought, surely something's gone wrong. I would have caught them by now. So I stopped when I was next to the beach because I thought, this is a good spot to tell them I'm here next to the beach. So I got out and I got my piece of cardboard and I walked over to some people on the other side of the road. And I said to them, can you ring my parents? And so they used a bit of Google Translate and it turned out my cardboard had got wet on one of the really rainy days.
Yeah.
So we couldn't really read the number very well. And so in the end, after ages, the police even came, but they couldn't really do anything because they didn't speak English very well.
Yeah.
And then Mum and Dad finally found me.
They finally found you. Tell me about that adventure. Please,
oh, well, that was interesting.
How were the stress levels at that point? Or were you pretty relaxed about it?
Yeah, I was pretty relaxed about it.
Were you really
relaxed?
Well,
I knew we couldn't have been far because we were riding along the coast and there's only the beach on one side and houses on the other. I knew where he must be and I figured maybe he'd just ridden quite a fair bit ahead of us because we actually stopped at a fish market briefly to look at all the crabs coming in. There was a fresh load of fishing ship coming in. So we just didn't realise Christian didn't come into the market with us. So I figured he'd just gone on and he must be ahead of us. But at one point, a lady drove up to me in a car, stopped the car and said, "Have you lost a boy?"
And you said, "Oh, maybe."
Yeah.
One, two,
so, no,
three.
I knew by then I had lost him, but I figured he'd be fine. So she just said, he's up ahead. And I asked if he was crying and she said, "No, he's very strong."
Oh, well, that's nice. On Mornings Around Tasmania, we're talking to the Barry family, Stuart, Rosie, and today, they've magically jumped out of school for this. Christian and Jeff are in the studio as well, and we're missing some other family members who are often and busy with their noses in the books this morning, talking about their 4-week tour of South Korea and how all of that was managed. So, Stuart, you went right up to the DMZ.
We
did. The demilitarised zone. Yeah. And had a bit of a look.
Very exciting sort of end to the cycle trip, actually. So it was a great end point to be working towards that. Lots and lots of questions from the kids about why it's there and what's going on. We happened to be there when Donald Trump was there too and met Kim Jong-un at the border. So it was very topical
very
in South
historic.
Korea. So it was a great learning experience and very exciting thing to finish the trip with.
Yeah, I can imagine it would have been. What were your reflections on that, Jeff, and the idea that you're in this place where, you know, there's millions of landmines separating two countries that I think are still at war, effectively.
I was hoping I'd see some people with guns and tanks lined up along the border, but there was none there because it was demilitarised.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't that excited that it was.
So
no
what
tanks.
Did it look like?
There's this big bare hill and a small fence going out from an island in the ocean, going along. We had lots of barbed wire.
Did you get to meet lots of local people in the course of your trip?
Well, we didn't really stop for long. We didn't meet many people that were local, but we did bump into some other cyclists that were from Australia.
Did you take like your own spending allowance, and did you buy any good souvenirs to bring back home?
Yes, we got 20,000 won. And I found more than that under coffee machines in the middle of nowhere. There was coins underneath them, so I had about 50,000 at the end. And I didn't really like much there, so I got a pair of Bluetooth earphones.
Bluetooth earphones. What about you, Jeff?
Christian.
What about you, Christian? Sorry.
Well, I didn't really have much to spend it on because I wasn't really, like, I'm not really into new high-tech stuff, so I didn't really want Bluetooth earphones, which everyone else wasted their money on.
Mm-hmm. So what did you pay for it, like an upgrade to business class on the way home? Or?
I just got a pair of bike gloves because I wanted something to warm my hands up for riding down the hill in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's back in Australia I want them for. And so I just didn't spend the rest. And they did say that if you have nothing to spend it on, you can get it in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
They give it to you in Australian money, which they still haven't done, but I'll make them do it one day.
Not to worry. Look, you're prudent investing. I think that's your dad's other area of expertise. So maybe just demonstrate some prudent investing on mornings around Tasmania. The Barry family have been peddling across South Korea. Stuart, what's the next adventure? I remember talking to you after you and the family got back from Europe, and that was a few years ago. So
3 years
was 3 years younger. This was South Korea. Boys, will you sign up for another family cycling trip somewhere else? Where would you like to go?
Well, I don't really care as long as it's bike riding because I just love pedaling and moving.
Nice one. Where would you like to go?
I like mountain biking more than road biking.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard of, we've been to a couple of big bike film nights in Hobart, and there were some pretty inspiring like mountain trails that I would like to do.
Nice one. What are you thinking, Stuart?
Well, I think half the fun with holidays is planning, actually. So we try and go every second year on a big trip, and that 12 months in between, we basically cycle in our heads through every country in the planet and have so much fun doing that. But Rosie's 50th in a couple of years, so we're thinking of some big adventure to celebrate that as a family.
Can you ride the Appalachian Trail, or have you got to walk that?
That's a walking one, yeah, but certainly on the bucket list as a walking trip, that's for sure.
Just watch out for the bears. Hey, to all of you, thank you for coming in this morning. It's been lovely to see you in here. Advice for families, Rosie, please, thinking about a cycling holiday, because I'm sure lots of people would go, oh, maybe we could do that. What's your advice?
I would say look up Facebook pages. A lot of cycle trails, if there's one you're interested in, have a Facebook page, and that's well, we got a lot of information about routes or information just about things along the way to be looking for. So I'd say connect with other people who have done it that way.
Rosie, thank you for coming in this morning. Pleasure. Jeff, Christian, thank you for coming in. Stuart, nice to see you again.
Thank you so much for having us.
And look forward to talking to you maybe in a couple of years' time after the next family cycling adventure.